You are now listening to The Invited Podcast with Cedric Harris and Tia McClain. You've officially been invited. Welcome to another episode of The Invited Podcast. Today we are joined by Coach Ryan Moore, a personal trainer, gym owner, youth mentor, and performance coach. Ryan moved to Dallas in 2020 from St. Louis, Missouri, and opened his gym only 1 year later, Grindhart Elite Performance. And before opening up that gym, Ryan worked in education as a teacher, serving and educating the youth. He still does that now. And Ryan is the living example of putting in hard work, keeping the faith, and believing in your vision. So I went to middle school with Ryan, and like I literally just didn't know like where life had taken him and vice versa. So it's so cool to see all that you've done, all of the like accomplishments that you've made. And so I'm really, really excited to just learn more about that full journey, all these things that you've done, and just about your business. And so we're going to dive into the conversation about fitness, business endeavors, like some advice, drop some gems for our people. Thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, so we'll just hop right into it. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about Grindhart Elite and where that vision came from and just kind of what service you offer to all your clients?
Okay, Grindhart Elite Performance was Grindhart Athletics at first. It started in 2018 in St. Louis, Missouri. The first thing we did, we threw a kids camp at Ferguson Recreational Center. We threw it for 5 weeks. And we charged $30. Okay. So we did $5 per kid per week. The biggest goal in it was to, impact the youth in a major way. The first 2 weeks we sold out, and then it started to do all right numbers, but we just wasn't selling out. The vision at the beginning, like I said, was to impact the youth. That's what it started as. I'm very big on giving back. I'm very big on, you reap what you sow. And I just look at our youth in a major way. Like, they need me. They need me. God called me for them. And I also believe, we're staying here to make things better than we left them. And if I can inspire the youth to do anything good, I did my job. So that's where it started. From there, it was never a full-time thing. Like Tia said at the beginning, I was a full-time teacher. I was in education right out of college. I got into teaching. I coached college football for about 2 or 3 years. Then I got right into high school where I was a teacher. So I never could run it full-time. So right. I just put in hours after school, after practice, just nonstop. And I just kept telling myself, I want to do this more. Like, I want to impact more people. I want more opportunity. And it was looking at a job as, I'm getting that same opportunity, but it's just under their guidelines. Yeah. So that was my substitute. My substitute was to teach, and to get in as many kids' life as possible. So every year, I actually went to another school. I taught. Well, I was a substitute teacher at Clayton High School. I was a coach at Clayton High School. I also taught at Roosevelt High School and Crawley High School out in Texas. So I went to 3 high schools and 3 colleges in a matter of 3 years. It was a roller coaster. Yes, yeah. It was a roller coaster. So every time I got close with these kids, another job would call or some other opportunity. And I felt there was God's plan for me to go at them times. So I just said, let me impact as many people as possible while I'm on this earth. And that's what I did. So that's what it started as. I moved to Texas in 2020, August, and I was a full-time special education teacher and a football and a basketball coach. Texas football is different.
Yeah.
Texas sports is different. So the demand got higher. It got really higher. It got to the point where, it was a COVID year. And we had to bring our kids in early so they could get back home and get online for school. So we was practicing at 6 a.m. in the morning, 15-year-olds. And you could see, you know, everybody just wasn't in it. You know, that age of 15, like, you start smelling yourself, like, you don't want to do things. Like, it was crazy. So I was going through that. And it was my first year in Texas. I was adapting to the society. I was adapting to driving 30 minutes to work every day. And it was a lot. In that same year, I'm big and I'm very personal with my kids. COVID didn't allow me to do that. It was a mask. I was teaching online. I was teaching in person at the same time. I didn't build those personal relationships that I wanted to build. So I looked at it and I said, you know, it might be my time to leave education. It's my time to branch off and do it under my guidelines. Yes. So that's what it came down to. Ultimately, the opportunity and the goal was always that. I just didn't know it was going to happen that fast. I dealt with about two deaths in my family that was really, really hard for me to take in the last year. And when I dealt with them, I started to realize, like, you know, time was never, like, calculated, you know, and death was always present. Yeah. And those two people was very, very close to me. So I said, you know what, there's no regrets, there's no excuses. This is my one life and I'm a living. Yeah. So from in April, I knew that, right? I seen you guys at the boot camp. I told you it was coming. I told you it was going to be big. And ultimately, I kind of manifested it. But I really think it was the other people that was praying for me about this vision. All the people that I had trained before, all the kids that I had trained, like, everybody was on this board with this vision. Every time I left, I would tell them, like, you know, this is the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal still to this day is not completely finished. Groundheart has just begun. The future plans are really, really big. It involves charter buses. It involves single family rates. It involves financial literacy. It involves building a community, building a village, awesomely through Groundheart. But like I said, it's just the beginning. So it's been a whirlwind, but to say the least, I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed.
Yeah, we could definitely see the blessings right in front of our eyes. Just like you said, we saw the boot camp at a high school Saturday mornings, and now you have your own gym. So in addition to the boot camps, what other type of services can people get from you? What do you specialize in?
So I do personal training. I also do another side of personal training where it's weight loss specific.
Okay.
I teach performance classes. So I do speed, agility, and strength and conditioning. For all ages, college, all the way up to pro, all the way down from youth, all the way to college. And then I also do group training where I have multiple of my clients that come in a group. They push each other. It's kind of a boot camp setting, but the focus is a group, and it's very motivational. Like, you'll see another client look at another one, and they'll be like, oh, I got it. I got to push myself. Like, yeah, you know, so it's kind of better. I kind of like it because just naturally we're competitors. You know what I mean? So it's better doing things as a team. It's better to compete. I think that's a lifestyle trait. I think it's something that every human should have just going forward in their life is being able to compete, you know, getting in that mode of competing. That's for your own business. That's for anything in life. That's competing to be a better person every day. You know, and like I said, I think that class, I love my group classes the most because I can connect with people at that same hour with that same goal, you know, and it's been, like I said, it's been very inspiring to have a setting, open space that I can invite people in with common goals. So that's been the most effective thing I've seen going forward.
And speaking of competition, so if you go to, or when you go to a boot camp with Ryan, you're going to have a competition at the end of that boot camp. And
no matter what,
like, it's so fun because you're never doing the same thing. You're always going to be moving during that boot camp, doing different circuits, different cycles. You know, you're running, doing HIIT workouts. And so
yes,
you do that, you know, put that little plug in. But opening up your own gym is such a huge feat. So kind of talk to us about some of those, like, background steps. So for someone else maybe looking in and saying, I want to do that, what are some of those background items?
So to be completely honest, the first thing I did was pray. I prayed, and I had to get the confirmation from God that this is what He wanted me to do at this time. I didn't mark off things like, you know, how much this weights cost. I didn't mark off all these things. Well, how much does a gym cost? I looked at an opportunity. I prayed on it. God said, this is the time, the calling, whatever it comes with, be prepared for. So I started preparing. I started to look on YouTube. I started to Google what it took to open your own gym. It's a million videos that'll pop up. It'll be 7-minute clips. It'll be 35-minute clips.
Yeah.
And I would just go through them every night. I would go through them. I would hear what they talked about. I would hear how personal they was with the clients. I would hear about referral letters. And I got all my research done. And before, like I said, it was never full time, but I always did it. So I had confidence in myself to do it. But also I understand that my training is different than any other gym. Anytime somebody comes in my gym, it's an opportunity for me to add light into their life.
Yeah.
And that's the service that I sell. I honestly, I'm not a powerlifting coach. I'm not a, we're going to lift a million weights. We're going to make you tired as a dog. Like, I'm not, that's not the goal. That's just not ultimately the goal. I understand that that doesn't ultimately take you through life. You know, I also understand, like I said, if I can put light in your life, it's just an opportunity for you to put light in somebody else's going forward. They might have the opportunity to change the world. And ultimately, like, that's what I built my brand and I built my business around. I didn't want to build it around myself. One, because I knew when things got hard, I didn't want to say, OK, well, you're only doing it for yourself and it's easy to quit. This business is about way more than myself. It's about the people that I touch. It's the village that I create. So it makes me go harder. It makes me get up in the morning. It makes me do things that I thought I would never do.
Yeah.
But it's not for me. So it's always easy to do because, like I said, once you feel like, all right, if I don't do it, then you boom, boom. It doesn't get done. Like, it's okay. But if I don't do it, nobody does it. And that's the way I look at it. And they need me. Like, they literally pay me to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I also don't look at money. Because like I said, you'll get a number. I didn't calculate it and say, well, I need 100 clients at this amount of money. I didn't do it that way. I said, let me get 10 clients and let me add life to their life every day. And then they're going to bring me 10 more clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to bring me 10 more. Yeah. And ultimately, that's what it's been.
Exactly.
I have had more people sign up from word of mouth and from my clients than anything from all the way back from you guys inviting Kayla to Kayla now working out with me weekly. Like, it's just amazing to see the evolution of it and to see her see the vision and believe in me and give me those hours of her life. Like I said, time is precious, man. Time is very precious. And I really feel that that's literally the only thing we have. So whatever we're doing with our time, it's going to put us in that position we want to be in life. I seen a lot in my life. I was, you know, impacting kids. Like I was coaching, I was teaching. And ultimately, that's what I do now. Exactly. So it's like, it came full circle. Some people looked at it like my parents, even my past relationships, you know, they looked at it like, you're not getting paid. Like, what you doing? Like, you know, it's a lot of people out here getting paid. It's a lot of people that drive Range Rovers. It's a lot of people that do all these things, take these exotic trips. And I told him, like, I wasn't sent to do it. Like, you know, that's going to be a plus. I was sent to impact people, you know, and that's what I put my love into. And like I said, it just helps me out waking up every morning to know that it's people that really depended on me to add this light. So it's easy to wake up. If it was like, oh, well, I'm not going to get paid today, it's easy not to wake up. You know, yeah. Your job say, well, we're not going to pay you. You're going to probably quit.
I'm not coming.
You're not going. Yeah. Exactly. You're not going. So it's like, I like I said, it's so much love in what I do. It also doesn't feel like a job. And like I said, the business structure, I would say I definitely came up with a business model. I definitely did that. It took me about 4 to 5 weeks to do it. I looked at the location. I looked at all of the gyms close by. Mm-hmm. I looked at their clients. I looked at their Google reviews. I knocked it off. I checked them all off. And I said, I can do this. Yeah. I can do this. And like I said, the first thing I did was pray. Once I got that confirmation, that's all I needed. Like, yeah, that's all I needed. I didn't need anything else. So that's what happened.
Okay. And I heard a couple different things there. I'm going to just point out real quick. So prayer and faith, of course, is a number one. When you get the confirmation from God, when you have that vision, that's one of the things that you need. Research. That's going to be a top second. So making sure you actually are putting the work
in.
Got a vision. Don't go into it blindly. Yes, doing some research. And then I guess number three would be like networking. So that is such a huge piece to get your clientele up, to have people keep coming back and saying good things about you. So networking. So those are our top three we're going to go with today.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing that I noticed was trust. Like, it's way easier for someone to want to come back to you, want to tell their friend about you if they trust you, right? Yeah. And so with that, like, can you tell us a little bit about your background? Like, why should people trust you? What's your, like, background in fitness? I also know you're an athlete as well. So can you tell us a little bit about your playing career as well?
Yes. So I originally started playing in St. Louis, Missouri. I started playing football when I was 5 years old, man. It's been crazy. From 5 to 24, I took 1 year off. So it's like, I like live football. Like, it was at one point in my life, I was telling myself, like, I want to be buried on a football field. That's how much I had loved it. Like, it was crazy, like, to think about it now and to think about what I said, you know. And I really put my heart into it. As Tia would know, growing up, like, I was kind of very small. Like, I was a little person. Like, I remember me and her joning, going back and forth in class. Like, yeah, all the time. Like, this was like a daily thing between me and her. But like, I kind of had that short man syndrome. But football, like, everybody underestimated me just because my size. But my heart, it was in it. It was in it from day one. When I was 5 years old, I seen a sport that I could make an impact in, even if I was small, but nobody expected me to do that. So I went on throughout high school. I went to Lutheran North. I went to DeSmet first, and then I went to Lutheran North. I graduated. I went on to play at Missouri Western my freshman year, Division II. My brother passed away 8 days in the camp, and it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I was 5.5 hours away from home. So I ended up transferring to Southeast Missouri State, which is about an hour and 15, hour and 30 from St. Louis. Right after that year. So I registered my freshman year. I went into college and I transferred D2 to D1.
Okay.
So they got to sit out a year.
Yep.
But you can practice. So I practiced. I sat out. I went to the CMO as a preferred walk-up. So I got rid of my full ride scholarship to a D2 college that was 5.5 hours away because the death of my brother. I took that leap of faith. I said, it's about being closer to home. It wasn't about playing D1 or D2. It was the talent was there for me. We won conference my freshman year. I love the guys that I played with. And I transferred and I had to sit out. So I went to Southeast Missouri State. And it was a very culture shocking thing. Social life had turned up. It turned up to the max.
SEMO has fun.
Yeah, like, if you know SEMO, like, we party from, like, Tuesday to Sunday, like.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And Missouri Western, we would party every other week. Everybody lived in the dorms. Like, yes, it was like I was not living in college.
Oh, that was different.
And I was like, I was like, I got to go get some kind of college atmosphere. So I went there, but the whole thing was the football the football changed. So it was very big in Missouri Western. We was winning. We was conference champs. They gave us food in the grocery stores. It was amazing. And I went to Southeast Missouri State and we was losing. It was the total opposite. The town didn't really show a lot of love. Mm-hmm. And I just got in a different predicament. I got from D2 to D1. You've seen a lot more athletes that were selfish. You've seen a lot more, you know, high-end athletes. So what I did was I redshirted when I went there. So I set out my first 2 years of college. Like, I just practiced. Yeah. Like, a lot of people don't know that, but I just practiced. And then the next year coming in was my redshirt sophomore year. So I got hurt early. But I started to play, and week 8 rolled around, and I broke my ankle.
Ooh.
I broke my ankle. I got a plate in my ankle, and I got 2 screws. I still got the plate. I got the screws out, so I had 2 surgeries back-to-back my junior year of college. Mm-hmm. That was the moment that I literally found out about myself in a lot of aspects. From that time, I broke my ankle. I was, bedridden, sitting down. I couldn't drive, couldn't get up. I had a bunch of pictures on my wall with my brother. I had a bunch of pictures of football. I had a bunch of pictures of my grandparents. And I would literally sit there and I would literally go through depression of it. And just to think they was not here no longer. I was not doing what I love since I was 5 years old. I couldn't walk. And I just went into a depressed state. I went into a depressed state for about 4 to 5 weeks. And right after that, I started to get into my physical therapy rehab. So when I did that, it got me up off my feet. I went in, boom, and I started it. That started another month of depression. I got in and I just couldn't do what I knew I used to be able to do. So it was like, oh my God, I got to work crazy hard just to get back to where I know I can do things. And it took another rain. It took a lot of faith. It took a lot of days of believing in myself. It took a lot of moments where I wanted to quit. And one of the biggest things that I didn't quit, my parents are grade A in my life. I don't know how I got blessed with these parents.
Yes.
When I say I went through life and I see other people's parents and I'm just like, bro, I am so blessed. This is crazy. I never even thought other people live like this. They made every game, no matter if I got in or not, they was coming to the game. So every single Saturday, I would see my parents during the season. Every Saturday. It didn't matter. We played in Alabama. It didn't play wherever we played. They was coming. So that was always in the back of my head. Every time I got tired, every time I wanted to quit, I'm like, bro, my people, win, lose, or draw on Saturday, they're going to love me. Yeah. They're going to drive up here. This is for them. It's not no longer for me. So that was the moment I changed doing things for myself and doing it for others. Once I did that, life became so much easier. Because I knew when I got tired, I wasn't going to quit. When I got some kind of adversity, when somebody scored on me, I wasn't going to quit because it was bigger than me. It wasn't just about me. It was about the team. It was about the people that came and watched me play.
Yeah.
It was about my nephew seeing me play in college. I never grew up under that. I never seen anybody in my family with something like this that was attainable. So nothing looked attainable, And I just did it. I kept pushing. I pushed through. I played for 3 years. After I broke my ankle, I played for 2 more years. I started 24 games straight. I started at cornerback. I started at safety. Right from there, I moved to Dallas right after that to train for the draft. That started up. It lasted about 8 to 10 weeks. It was crazy because my school that year said they wasn't going to do a pro day. So I had moved to Dallas, start training. And they was like, yeah, we're not going to have a pro day. And I was like, well, another one. This is just another road bump. It's just another thing that life threw at me. Take it back. So I did that and I stopped. Right when I stopped, I said, man, I cannot get away from football.
Right. Yeah.
And then I also said, I cannot go back to St. Louis, Missouri. That was another moment. So when I went through college, my ultimate goal was don't go home, don't go home, don't go home, don't go home. Whatever you do, don't go home.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I didn't want to go home also because home reminded me of my brother. So my brother and me was together my entire life until I went to college. Yeah. Right when I went to college, I never seen my brother again. So it was like home. Every time I go home, I'm looking at Lindbergh and I'm like, oh my God, where's Trey at? I'm looking at my room. I'm like, he got to be coming around. He got to have some Chinaman. He got to have something. And it just took me in a whole different mood and another stage of depression, honestly. Mm-hmm. I kind of wore it on my shoulders or whatever, but I knew that was the plan. So right from there, I took a job coaching at Lindsey Wilson College in Columbia, Kentucky.
Middle of nowhere.
Anybody has ever heard, I don't know if anybody ever heard of Columbia, Kentucky, but Columbia, Kentucky got their liquor license 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
They have live chickens in the stores. Like, this is oh my God. So
how'd you even end up in Columbia, Kentucky, though? Like, what, how'd you end up there?
So what I did was I got online and I started looking for coaching jobs. Coaching jobs. So I'm sending my resume every day. I'm shooting my reference letters out. All my previous coaches are vouching for me. I went through my college career and I never got in trouble. I won about two awards, a Cornerstone Award that was off of effort, attitude, discipline, and passion. Yeah. I won that my senior year. And then I also won top defensive back my senior year on my team. So I had a lot of, you know, accolades and a lot of references that, that held weight. So I took my first job in Columbia, Kentucky. A lot of people don't know this. The job paid $500 a month. It came with free housing, but it was $500 a month. it was another day that I really sat there and asked God, like, is this it? Like, do you want me to do this right now? Is this the time that I need to go to Kentucky and impact these kids' lives? And it was like, yeah, like, don't look at the ticket. Don't look at the number. Like, you can do it. So I did it. I drove down there. It was about 4.5 hours from St. Louis. I was in Columbia, Kentucky for 8 months.
Okay.
8 months rolled around. I started to get homesick. I was looking at, Chrysler or GMC. I'm like, yeah, I'm going home. I'm going to coach high school football. And I'm going to get it done. I'm going to work a 9-to-5. Forget it. Like, so all those thoughts came back in my head, and I'll never forget the girl that I was with at that time. She called me a quitter. And it touched the spot on me. Because I never felt that I was a quitter. Like, you know, but it was definitely eye-opening to see it from another angle. Because we had talked about this. We had talked about, you know, I want to coach. And I got down there and I was like, yeah, just the life in it. The roosters in a store, the whole social norm of it, it didn't fit what I thought it would fit.
Yeah.
So I kind of got out of it. That was a bad habit. It's a bad, very bad habit when you don't get your way and you leave it.
Yeah.
Right. And you let it go. So when she called me a quitter, I had to take it for what it was worth. Mm-hmm. It was a hard part in our relationship, but I took it for what it's worth. I moved home. Right when I moved home, I get hired at Clayton High School.
Okay.
Boom, I'm coaching. I get this GMC job. And it's taking forever for them to hire me. So I'm at Clayton. And one day I get a call from a guy that I met in Columbia, Kentucky, coaching.
Yeah.
And he coached at Lindenwood University. And y'all know that Lindenwood University is in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, are you in Kentucky still? I'm like, no, I'm actually in St. Louis. Like, he's like, okay, well, can you come in for an interview today?
Today.
I'm like, yeah, today. Yeah. You can. I was like, today. He's like, yeah, can you make it by 1? I was like, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. So I went in for the interview, man. I crushed it. Right after the interview, before I even walked out, they said they was going to offer me the job.
Come on.
They said that I had about 48 hours to make my decision, go home, pray on it, do it. I still was kind of in survival mode. So I kind of told them, like, yeah, I know. I'm taking it. All right. So this job, guess how much this job paid?
$1,000
a month.
Hey, you doubled your money.
You know.
I doubled my money. But look, though, I moved home with no, I had to pay rent.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it really didn't double. It kind of went back.
Expenses doubled.
Oh, my God. So I went home. I moved home. And like I said, me being at home awesomely made me think about my brother so much. So I couldn't even live in the house. I couldn't walk past his room every day. It was a big thing. My parents was pushing, you know, stay at home. We got you. Got food here, this and that. I moved out of my parents' house in a month. I moved to St. Charles. Glenn Bradford, you know him.
Yeah.
And my friend Conway Johnson, who also are in this building with me now. We moved to a townhouse in St. Charles, Missouri, right down the street from Lindenwood. And they let me pay the least amount. Like, They pay higher. And we made it work. Yeah, we made it work. Halfway through. So boom, let's run it real quick. So we get to December of that year. So I coached that whole season. My first season coaching is so inspirational. Like, I'm a college coach, and a year ago, I was just playing. So I'm about same age as these kids that I'm coaching. I got kids just older than me that I'm coaching. It's calling me Coach Moore. And I'm like, like, oh my God. Like, yeah, God has put me in a position to like lead. And it was that moment that I knew that this was all for me. So I got in that position. I loved the Lindenwood University. Everything was great. Halfway through, December comes. And if you're a college coach in December through about February, a lot of college coaches leave. The season's over. A lot of people get fired. A lot of people get hired. Every single year, somebody does something.
Right.
So I got there. My alma mater called me, Southeast Missouri State. And they said, we want to offer you a graduate assistant position coach job.
What?
In 6 months. So they told me I had 24 hours to think about this job. Oh, my God.
The time decrease. Couldn't have. Decrease.
I made that prayer again.
Yeah.
I made that prayer again. God said, go. He said, go.
Yeah.
I moved it. I broke the lease at this St. Charles. They made work for me.
Yeah.
They said, if you're going to do it, do it. They was all in on it. My parents moved me down. I moved back to Southeast Missouri State. And I took that graduate assistant job. That was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So I got down to Southeast Missouri State. And about 2 or 3 weeks in, I could tell that it wasn't the right move for me. I knew it. I started to feel my mornings and my nights. It started to feel like I was forcing it. Like I wasn't enjoying it.
Okay.
What was different about just, like, your role there versus like the other positions that you had that you actually liked?
So there, I was a graduate assistant. The other two jobs that I had before, I was a full-time coach.
Gotcha.
Right. So my respect level kind of went down, like a lot. The kids respected me because they knew I played ball, and they had just played with me, so they kind of respected me, but they kind of also knew me on another side of it.
Exactly.
But for the coaches, they still looked at me like a player. And that's what ultimately made me not like the job.
I feel that.
Because I had already went to two other colleges and I was looked at Coach Moore. I had got back around another staff that had actually coached me.
Yeah.
And they still was looking at me as that's that player. And I also was still looking at them as that's that coach. It was times where, you know, a coach would be like, go get me some coffee. And I would get up and do it with no hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I still was in mode. Yes, sir. No, sir. Mode. Two, I just felt that that's what I was supposed to do. But what I also knew, like, at the other schools, no other coaches made me do that.
Exactly.
So the other coaches like, man, let him go get his own car. So they was just really trying to push me to see how far I would go and how far they could get away with things. So it became like, this is not longer, you know, something I love doing. This feels like a real job.
Exactly.
And it was like, I'm in corporate America, and I ran for corporate America since I've known of corporate America.
Yeah.
So I was like, no. One day came, third or fourth week there, we having a recruiting event, and the clicker to the PowerPoint goes out. Coach, he asked me, like, you know, can you fix it? This is in front of parents. This is in front of kids that might come to this school.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have no idea. This is week three. Like, I've never touched the clicker.
Exactly.
Never could fix it. Like, so he's like, all right, boom. He gets somebody else to do it. The parents walk out. They leave. And excuse my language, but he says, do not ever in your effing life let that happen again. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, the clicker. Like the mouse,
yeah.
Like the USB, like, and I'm sitting there. And he like, yeah. It's like, don't ever in your life let that happen again. And I'm like looking at him. And he like, do you hear me? Because I'm like, I'm starstruck. Like I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like he's like, do you hear me? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. But that day, I knew, like, yeah, that was a turning point in my life also, you know, and I had went home. All the other coaches that looked at me, that was like, man, he's like that with everybody. Don't worry about it. I went home. I prayed on it again.
Yeah.
Prayed on it again. I called my parents. I told them how I felt. I told them I felt this position just wasn't for me anymore. And I felt that I literally went through and played with these coaches, and they almost took my love away from the game when I played.
Right.
So I said, I'm not going to let them take my love away from the coaching. I said, so it's better for me to exit this situation. Boom, I exit the situation. I move back to St. Louis. I get a full-time teaching job and coaching job at Roosevelt High School.
Okay.
On the south side of Missouri. To go back to that, fast forward, we're in St. Louis. And first day I walk in, I got the slacks on. I got the shoes on. I'm a gym teacher.
Yeah.
And my kids come into class and I'm talking about they grill me. Like, oh my God, they grill me. Like, they turn me up. Like, every Joan joke you can think of,
they had.
Like, they saying it. And I'm sitting there like,
what can you do?
What did I just do? What did I just get into? Like, what is this? Like, and it's like, okay, you know, we went to, you know, Hazelwood School District, and I went to private schools for high school. So that was never my norm, you know. So I go through the school. That was the last day I wore slacks. That was the last day I wore shoes. They couldn't get me again. But it also put me in another light of life.
Yeah.
I was down and I was teaching there. And these kids go through metal detectors every day. Wow. They turn their phone in every day.
Yeah.
They can't come to school with bottles open. It could be alcohol in the bottle. They have to buy snacks from Quick Trip every single day. And I'm looking at people live a totally different life. And I know 20 minutes from here is Hazelwood Central and other schools, and kids are living a whole nother life. They're giving up their phone their entire day.
Yeah.
So it just started to go through my head like, yes, God put me here to serve. Like, God did this on purpose. He wanted me to be in this atmosphere. He wanted me to be in this light and to add light into these kids' life. So then it turned back into what's important. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I actually putting into these people? Like, is it all about what they can do for me on the football field? Is it about how fast they can run? Or is it about them being the best person they possibly can be and me helping them be that? And that's what it turned into, man. It was crazy. I grew close to all my kids. And they love Coach Moore.
Yeah.
Coach Moore was real. Coach Moore was raw. Coach Moore was a person in the school that really kind of didn't go the normal school route.
Right.
I would ask my kids, you know, how much of an hour of your life is worth, you know, and, you know, they're running, you know, in the city of St. Louis, it's like, yeah, $8 a word. And I'm sitting there like, no. Like, they're like, well, you know, if I work 8 hours a day and they doing the math, like, I can buy J's, I can boom, boom. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, let's just say $100 of your life, you know, 100 hours. Let's just put it there. And I was explaining to them that you cannot put a price on an hour of your life, you know, but in society, it makes us.
Yeah.
And, you know, in school, you don't hear this. You never hear this. Like, they go job, 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 college, 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 trade, trade, trade. Mm-hmm. You got to survive. You got to eat. But I just wanted them to understand that. And I did that in every high school that I taught in. That was a outlying question, you know, what is an hour of your life worth? And when people look at it that way and they look at it as, you know, it's never a price ticket on life. Because if you say, all right, I'm worth $100 an hour, like, that's it. Like, you can't even buy one shoe with $100. Like, you're going to get one J, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing you can do with that. So I think it was very eye-opening to my kids to see a teacher in that light.
Yeah.
To see a teacher that understood things and also cared about them more so than just what they got an A or B or C or D on an assignment. Like, it was so life lesson for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I loved it because every day I would come, it would be different. I'll never forget a situation. I was getting on one of my girls that ran track. I was a head girls track coach. I'm like, you missing practice, like, boom, boom. She's like, my mom got shot yesterday. And like, I literally had to get in the motor, like, bro, like, this doesn't even, like TFA just changed. Like, this doesn't even thought of, this thought doesn't even run through my head on dailies. Like, right. I couldn't even fathom coming to school after this, what happened. And it was like, these people are living a different life. Like, they really go through real trauma at a young age. They might not eat. I had kids with house arrest bracelets. I had kids that, like I said, never ate. And you would see it at school. Like, it was no way that they could be in class and be focused if they didn't eat. You know what I'm saying? And it was like to the point where I was like, I really start feeling sorry. I really start feeling sorry. But they didn't need a person to feel sorry for. They just needed somebody to uplift them and tell them that, you know, situations and circumstances never last forever. And you have the capability of changing them. And when I would do that, they started to like real deal migrate to me. So before you know it, you know, principal's like, yeah, you got too many people in your room. You can't do that. You need to shut the door. Like, cause you know, I also had gym. So I'm coming in, boom. I know they might like, coach, you got snacks today. Like you got something. So it became something bigger than teaching for me. Before you knew it though, life kept throwing these curveballs. 6 months later, Lindenwood University calls me back and they say, you know, we never wanted you to leave. We want to offer you a job again. What Ryan do? Ryan took a $16,000 pay cut and he went back to Lindenwood University. Yes. So
what influenced that decision though? Like what made you feel like drawn to back to Lindenwood?
So when I was coaching, you know, the goal was college coaching.
Yeah.
That was my first high school that I had been in. This was another opportunity to get back to college coaching, back to college. So that was the only deciding factor for my career purposes was to take this job again. It didn't make sense financially. I had bought a new car. I had more expenses than the first time that I went back. So it didn't make any of that sense. I had told the coach going back in, I was like, you know, whatever little extra work I can do, I need to make some extra money. I got more expenses. She's like, you know, we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. So I did it. Took it in. Boom, boom. I get through. I stayed there 7 months. December rolls back around, and these expenses are killing me. Like, he said he was going to make it work. I still was making about $1,000 a month. And I was telling him, I'm like, you know, I have to get more money. I have to get more money. Exactly. By this time, I'm 3 years out of college.
Yeah.
I haven't made $20,000 yet. And it's like crazy. Like my parents are looking at me crazy. My friends are looking at me crazy. And I'm like, okay, I got to do something. So I get done with that. December rolls around. I go back to Roosevelt High School. So I go back to Roosevelt High School. They say, we love you. Want to give you a job back.
Okay.
Nothing's changed. Let's do it. I jump back in it. Right when I jump back in it, I'm a head girls track coach again. I finish that semester and I tell myself, I'm going to do one full year at Roosevelt High School. They need me.
Yeah.
Like these kids this was the most effective I felt in any of my jobs. I felt that I was more needed here. So I said, I'm going to do it. So that year rolled back around. I actually went through a football season. So I'm going through the football season, right? Yeah. And the guy, my mentor, who is the head coach, who has brought me back twice, and I've left twice, and he's brought me back each time believing in me.
Yeah.
He gets fired mid-season. St. Louis Public Schools fire him.
Yeah.
I ultimately go to a co-interim head coach of the team. It comes down, I think he got fired in like early October. So we got to finish out the season.
Right.
We end up in winning districts. Let me tell you just a quick summary about him. He's my mentor.
Yeah.
This is one of the most inspirational people I've ever met in my entire life. When he got kicked out of that school, you can Google it. The school the next day marched down, I think it was 16 blocks to the board for him getting kicked out of school with signs to say, bring him back.
Yeah.
He had really touched every single kid in this building. It wasn't about sports. It wasn't about any of that. Like, he really put light into every kid in this building. And he kept bringing me in to do the same. And we grew close. We grew really close. When he got fired, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this the role that I got to play now.
Right.
Like, this is what I got to do now. Like, I got to go at, like he did this on purpose. And I had left him. I kept leaving him. And then right when I went to go stay, he got fired.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. So yeah. I was like, God, it's another one. It's another one. You need me. Like, I get it. Like, you ain't, I got you. Boom.
Yeah.
I finished out the season. We win districts. The kids are arrayed around him. He's crying. He's emotional. And in that process of him getting kicked out of school, I hated how it went. It just didn't go how I wanted it. They bashed him. They ran him through the mud. And so, like, news coverage got on it and brought light, and the kids would get their own testimony from the subject. And then he was portrayed in another light.
Yeah.
You know, but by that time I was done with the situation. I had ended up stopped teaching, but I was still coaching. So I was coaching. We finished the season. I got done. That point right there, I went into a state of depression again, but a sense of loss, a sense of, you know, what was next for me in my life,
right,
going forward. So I ultimately, I said, you know, education might not be it.
Yeah.
Education might not be it. I've been training part-time. I've been coaching Little League football part-time. It's time to actually get onto the training and get another job. Nobody really knows this unless you really know me. I took a job at Delta Airlines.
Mm.
I took a job at Delta Airlines part-time, 29 hours a week. At $17 an hour. It came with free flights for my parents,
okay, my
spouse. It came with free flights for me, no bag fee, nothing. I said, well, this opportunity will allow me to travel across the world,
exactly, show
my business, and also impact people in different states every day, yeah, like for free. So I was like, if I could cut the travel cost out, this would give me that light to move around the world. So I took the job.
Yeah,
I took the job. And what I did was I started training a little more, had a little more time to train.
Mm-hmm.
Right when I take the job, life hits us with COVID. Right away, I take this job in November. COVID hits 2 months, about the same time as that, a little month and a half yeah, after. I'm the first one laid off, foreloaded, lost job right away. The benefits stayed.
Okay.
The flight stayed, no pay. So they offered us a buyout. I wasn't going to take a buyout because I had worked. I'm like, I'm going to keep flights until y'all, like, you know,
y'all
take me off pay. Yeah, like, I'm not going to just quit this. Like, so I kept it. That point right there, it said life is short as ever.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at COVID, I said, wow, like, this is crazy, right? Like, it's stopping sports. It's stopping the world. Like, this is a time where I have to find who Ryan really is and what is Ryan supposed to be doing. So that time gave me time to separate from any job, any responsibility, any subject that didn't matter. Awesome. It gave me time to find my inner peace. I locked in the training, and I hit it full circle. I said, this is it. I'm going all in. So I started training people at Forest Park. I started training people at Club Fitness. I got a Planet Fitness card. I ran around to every Planet Fitness in Missouri, Southside to Ferguson to everyone. I got kicked out of gyms. You know, you can't train.
Right.
You're not part of gym. I was getting kicked out of gyms. I was training at apartment gyms. My friend has lost downtown. I'm getting the key. I'm going up the elevator. I'm taking my clients through. Whatever it took to work, I was yeah, willing to do.
Yeah.
I said, whatever it takes. So COVID hit, you know, all the gyms closed. Bang. I'm like, oh, man, another one. What am I going to do? Weather broke. I said, whoever go outside with me, I'm going to give them a good price. but they gonna believe in me.
Yeah.
I went outside and my clients started to grow crazy. St. Louis showed mad love. And every time I did a session, it felt like this is what I was supposed to do.
Felt
it gave me an open space to let people be themselves and ultimately have a goal that I can push them to do. And it turned into my full-time passion. And when I did that, I was like, you know what? Grind Hard was always the vision. You know, like I said, I had started this when I was teaching years ago, but it never was full-time. It was always, you know, you do it after you get off work. You do it when you got time. You do it in the summer when we don't have to teach. And it was like, you know what? You can't get benefits from anything if you don't put your all into it. And I said, let's do it. Like, what we got to lose? Like, what do we have to lose, you know? And I put my all into it. I prayed on it. And I fell in love with the process. I fell in love with changing people and awesomely pushing them towards their goals.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like I said, giving them a space to be their self where there wasn't judged. I also sometimes would call my personals and even my regular training counselor sessions. If you look at one of my questionnaires, it talks about, you know, what are the stressors? What is your why? You know, what is awesomely going to push you through this? Because like I said, it's never about the weights for me. I need to know that person before I break them down. Before I can break them down and we can go up and we can reach these goals, I feel that I need to know that person cold-hearted.
Yeah.
Not to say, oh, well, they just lift weights good. They got great form. And they're amazing people.
So much more
in people.
Facts.
It's so much more. And I awesomely built my brand, my business around being personal and showing people that I care. So going back to your question of loyalty, every client I got, they know I would go above and beyond outside the gym for them. Yeah. It nothing in the gym matters. And I make that clear and I show them that through my actions. I ask them, you know, throughout the week, you know, stress check. How we feeling?
Okay.
Meal check. What we eating?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if they tell me something that's personal or whatever, I'll go back that next week. I'll touch on them. How's that going? What are you doing? So they're not looking for this hour to say, oh, I'm going to lift 100 weights. They're looking for this hour to say, this is another session for me to express my feelings, to get through my thoughts, to also hear an open voice that was a judge-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I made it that way, the clients and the people God has put in my life have been everlasting. It's been everlasting. And the loyalty, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, I have some loyal people. I have people in St. Louis, like, that, you know, still promote my business, and I haven't seen them in years, you know.
Right.
And I have kids that I coached 3 or 4 years ago that's telling me, like, you know, I do this because of you. Like,
aww.
And I got also people that I've trained that are trainers now.
That's awesome.
And that was even more inspirational for me because it was like, bro, like, yes, you haven't made any money, but you've changed so many lives.
Look at the impact.
You're going to be good regardless. Yeah, that was enough. Yeah. Like, I know I'm going to be good. It's no matter what. I know I'm going to be good. I don't never have to make another dollar. Like, God has his plan for me. And like I said, I put so much in that I know it's coming out. It's coming out. And whatever way it goes, I'm willing to deal with. Like I said, my faith has grew stronger and stronger throughout. I'm going to get real quick, run this full circle. So when I took that job, Delta got laid off, COVID hit, boom, I'm training. I had a plan. I said, I'm going to move to Dallas, Texas. And I said, I'm going to move in January of the next year. Like, that was my timeline. I'm moving to Texas. I always used to be a person that looked at these glasses half empty.
Mm.
Conway Johnson, I call him my ace. He's one of the biggest reasons I got this building right now. He told me one day, he said, bro, I can't be around you if that's what you're going to do. And he told me, he said, bro, like, it's just, you're so negative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never see the light, you know. Yeah. And I was telling myself I'm broke because I was broke, right? But I was broke because I kept saying I was broke. And I was manifesting being broke.
Yeah.
And it turned my whole life around when I start speaking positive things into my life. So I said, I'm moving to Texas. And I said it every day. I'm moving to Texas. I'm moving to Texas. I'm moving to Texas. And before you knew it, I had the free flights, right? So yeah. I'm coming back and forth to Texas.
Come on.
And my friend has a gym down every week and a half. I come, I stay for a week, and I train kids. So I start building my clientele up off the free flights. I would come down, stay with him, stay for a week. I would train for free.
Yeah.
I was just building content, getting better, every rep, getting better, seeing what the Dallas market looked like. So my whole time, I'm like, all right, I'm moving to Texas in January. August comes around. One of my friends from college is a teacher in Texas. Shoots me a call. He said, man, I got a teaching job for you. Got to start 2 weeks.
I said, these quick turnarounds.
Yeah.
he said, you got to go through a program. He said, the program usually takes people 6 months, mm-hmm. 3 to 6 months. He said, if you can get it done in 2 weeks, they said they'll hire you.
What?
12 hours straight every day for 2 weeks. I did this program nonstop. I finished certified. I had a phone interview, Zoom interview with 8 teachers. I killed the interview. They hired me on before I even touched down in Texas.
Okay.
I took the job of special education biology teacher, head football coach, head freshman basketball coach. And guess what? It was the most money I have ever made in my life.
In Texas, Texas pays a little better than other cities and states. Yeah.
I started at $67,000.
Come on.
My first total job was $500. The next one was, the $500 was $6,000 a year.
Yeah.
The $1,000 was $12,000
a year. Listen.
The other one at Roosevelt was $26,000. I went to Texas and made
$67,000.
Right from day one. I said, oh, man.
This is different.
Man, so many like,
yeah. Yeah, like, God, like, and I was doing the same exact things I was doing in St. Louis in Texas. I was coaching, teaching, same exact things, making double the money, right? Life was great. COVID hit. Like I said, that moment came where I lost two people that was very close to me, and I understood how short life was. I said, I looked at teaching, and I had got out of it. I had took the Delta job. I had said I wasn't going to do the teaching anymore, and that was the thing. And when that happened, like I said, I prayed again, and I said, you said you was going to go full out, all in.
Yeah.
It's not going all in. It's not it. Like, you know, this is not it. Yes, the money made sense. Yes, the money was great. I went and bought a Dodge Charger. I had my own apartment. Like, I was living great.
Good.
I said, man. But it was something missing every day. Every day I woke up, it was something missing. And it was just that space that I could create for others. It was, like I said, it was me impacting kids, but it was under others' guidelines. It was under, okay, well, you can't say this, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. You need to be this model. You need to fit this. And I said, well, life's so short. I lost my grandma. I lost my cousin. I said, it's no more about fitting in. It's about standing out. And God said, you know, if you're going to take this leap of faith, you got to be willing to deal with whatever comes with it. And when I talked to him and he said that, I said, well, every roller coaster, you ain't been through something you ain't got through. Like you made $500 a month. Like you didn't starve, you didn't did all this stuff, you could get through it.
Yeah.
And it took me all the way to a full circle to me opening my business. I quit my job in April and I opened the gym in July. And that's kind of crazy. People look at me and be like, bro, how did you do this?
Right.
And I would tell them, like I said, the people that I trained before, it was their prayers and it was God's plan. Like it was nobody else. If you look at my situation right now, there's no way that I should be in this situation, this predicament. But like I said, I kept faith. I kept faith and I went on all of these roller coasters that God said that he needed me to do. And when it was time for me to create this space for me to do another mission, he opened the doors. Cold-heartedly, he opened the doors for me. I'm in my, it's July, so what are we, September? We finished in up September. About to hit my fourth month of business. This is the first time I'm a full-time entrepreneur. I have no other source of income.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's incredible. The days get long. The days get long, but they've been long. the nights get the money doesn't always look like it's supposed to, but it never has. So it was like I said, it was like this stage. I think God prepared me for this stage. I think all those other jobs, all those other things I went through was for a reason. He said, you know, you need to go impact inner city kids. You need to go impact Clayton kids who have this privilege. You need to know the difference. You need to know how can you get to a privileged person versus somebody that that struggles income, that struggles reading, all of these forms to change. He also needed me to coach college kids. He needed me to coach high school kids. He needed me to coach youth kids. So when I could create this space, I could be available to all.
To everybody.
And it goes back to the loyalty. Why would you trust in me? Why would you do that? Why would at whatever age you at, why would you bring your kids to me? And I would say, I went through the trials and tribulations of every part of this circle.
Exactly.
I've been a college coach. I've played college football. I've been a high school coach. I've played high school football. I've been a youth coach. I've played youth football. I've did it all. I've done it all. And I would say this. A lot of people don't like when I say this, but I don't, as humans, we only really learn from our own experiences. You know, a lot of people tell us things and it's hard to get. It's hard to understand. It's hard to see it in that light that they're portraying in it. But when you go through it, oh man, you can take from any situation what you want to. You don't have to take what others said it was going to be. You can say, oh man, I'm going to extract this from this situation. So every job, every situation I got to put in, I took whatever I wanted from that situation and I made myself going forward.
Yeah.
It's some things that I liked when I was coaching at Roosevelt that I took. It's some things I didn't like that I said I'm not going to do anymore. And it just helped me build up to be this person that was available to every sense of walk of life. It's no person I can tell you right now that I can't train.
Yeah.
And I'm betting on myself. If they walk through them doors, they will come back. And that's just me believing in myself because I told myself, put yourself through it all. You can't do something and teach someone something that you never did. You know, and a lot of people look at that and be like, well, what you mean? I can read 100 books. I can go get a degree. And I can tell you that boom, 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 you can, but you never did it. You know, so
not really. Yeah.
No, for real. So when that person hits adversity, you never went through the adversity part of it.
Exactly.
You never went through the mental part of it. You just read up on it. Mm-hmm. Right. And like I said, it's a very touchy subject because it's not believed by most people, but it's a belief that I came to intuition because I went through it. And like I said, other people might have other opinions on me, and that does not make them wrong. It does not make them right. I'm so open to hearing them. And I love it because, like I said, you get to take whatever you want from it. So that's why I never judge people because who am I to judge somebody? Mm-hmm. Who am I to judge what you went through? Who am I to judge your thoughts and your comments and your opinions about some subject that you might extract from any situation? You know what I'm saying? And people look at it, they see celebrity, they see all these people, they get on Twitter and they get them fingers. And they talk, you know what I mean? Because their opinion makes them feel important.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and me, like I said, I love it because every person is different. Mm-hmm. God made us all different. And people say, oh, it's right, it's wrong, it's not. It's God. God didn't judge people. He didn't say, well, if that person did this, boom, boom. No, he took us for our sins. He took us for the person we wanted to be. Everything that came with us, and I do the same for every person that comes through the door. So I love it. I love it, man.
So we.
I know I got to talking crazy. I know I talked.
We were right there with you because you were giving us your life story of obstacles and growth and just life is about learning. And so I was taking it all in. So we're gonna each ask you a question. We're going to transition into our little segment piece to wrap us up. But I think these questions your story that you share was a perfect segue into this. So
yeah,
Ryan, okay, biggest lesson you've learned in the last year, personally and professionally.
Okay. Professionally, never stop learning. And then look at every situation as the learning situation. Do not put a dollar sign on it. Do not put a time limit on it. You know, like I said, you can extract anything from a situation. I see people, they be like, well, I didn't want to do it because they didn't give me enough money to do it. But we get better with reps. It takes 10,000 hours to become an expert in anything. Mm-hmm. So if they're giving you that hour to do it, do it. Because ultimately, you're only building yourself up.
Listen.
Like you can't look at it and be like, oh, I'm doing a service for them. No, you ultimately are making yourself marketable. You're making yourself better.
Yeah.
By just simply putting yourself in a stance of, I'm going to try, I'm a venture, and I'm not going to put a price tag, I'm not going to put a time limit, I'm coming. So that just comes back to say, before I opened the gym, a week before I opened, I ran a free, it was another person event, it was a networking event,
yeah.
But I ran the fitness part of it, and it was totally free. And I looked at it like, what can you lose?
Yeah.
Like what can you lose? Like, why? You don't even need a dollar to do what you do anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not go add light and just push this into their life and then get better while doing it? So that's what I did. That was professionally. And then personally, love yourself. Ultimately, it comes down to a lot of, when you are a full-time entrepreneur, you're stuck in your own head. A lot of days don't make sense. A lot of times it looks so far-fetched that you start to think about giving up. Yeah. But ultimately, if you love yourself throughout all adversity, you're going to understand that you have so much more to live. Like, you know what I mean? Like my dad will always say, good or bad, the sun's coming up.
Yeah,
and I build my life around that. Like, it's crazy because my girl, I struggle with this in our relationship because I grew up in a non-excuse environment. Mm. You know, we didn't cry about things that happened. You know, we kind of got through it. It was not a space where we complained a lot. My dad, like I said, he always told us, good or bad, sun coming up, son, so you got to get up. And I, like I said, I built my life around it. So then I had in relationships, it's a struggle because when I see people that's going through all these emotions, and I'm like, do you know the sun's coming up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like y'all stressing about bills is gonna get paid one way or another. Like, you're not dying tomorrow.
Yeah.
It don't matter. Like, nothing matters ultimately because God gave you another 24 hours. You're gonna wake up. And when you wake up, what is it? It's another chance. It's another opportunity. Somebody didn't wake up. And when he broke our life down like that, it made adversity easy. Mm. It made trials and tribulations easy. Yeah. Because I even, like I said, when I was making $500 a month, it didn't feel good. I didn't have days. I ate peanut butter and jelly for months.
Yeah.
Like, it was times where I didn't, but I got through it because I knew on the other side of this, the sun coming up.
Listen.
It's coming up. It's gonna shine no matter what.
Facts.
We gotta add motivational speaker to
right to your bio.
Okay.
But speaking about tomorrow, right? You've talked to us about your background and how you got to this point. You kind of alluded to it earlier in the episode, like your vision is so much more than what it is now. It's just a matter of time. But can you give the listener a little preview of what they can expect from you and Grind Hard Elite in the coming years?
So Grind Hard Elite Performance, we're going to manifest this now.
Yes.
You know, so we will have multiple locations in multiple states. We will have charter buses that pick up kids throughout inner cities. We will teach financial literacy. We will teach trades. We'll teach how to cut hair. We'll teach how to write checks. We will have classrooms at these locations. We also will have a space for ACT prep. Mm-hmm. We also will give counseling. I want to bring a counselor in for mental health for all my clients, adults and all. That's like, yeah, it's like it's literally one of my biggest goals.
Yeah.
I know it's a struggle. And the thing is, we now have a space that we can create it and talk about it. But, you know, growing up, like I just told you, like my dad, he never gave that space for me. Like, you know, even if I was going through something, like I had to get through it. It was no time to cry. It was no time to have a mental break. And I know how important that is for people, you know, because what you also understand as a coach, everybody doesn't learn the same. You learn that as a teacher also.
Yes.
And those are tools that I took with it. And it's like to say that everybody's not the same, you know, and everybody requires different attention. And like I said, I want a Grindhard Elite Performance to be available for any person. That's the ultimate goal. And then, like I said, going forward, what we'll do, we'll have those locations. We'll have, you know, the athletes that came through. We'll have their jerseys on the walls. Mm-hmm. We also will offer them jobs out of college. We also will put them in internship positions. We also will market them also. And help them build their brand, help them do whatever they do. So it's really, like I said, Grindhard Elite Performance is a village. It's a village built on honesty. It's a village built on loyalty. And it's a village built on love. And like I said, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of years. Yeah. And we're just pushing right now. Like I said, we're pushing. I know for sure I signed a 30-month lease here at this building. So for the next 2.5 years, the first location will be here. The next location, we're shooting for St. Louis. Okay. All of this started with giving back to those kids.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I put myself in that South Side light and to see people really living like this 20 minutes away from Hazelwood, yeah, where I had life, where it was good, it was white fences and all these things. And I'm like, all these kids going through metal detectors. Yeah. Like, this prison, like, it's somebody living crazy, like, 20 minutes away. And it's crazy with St. Louis, you can go 20-20-20 and choose three different lives.
Yeah.
Because I was at Lindenwood, where St. Charles over the bridge, St. Peter's. Mm-hmm. Then I'm in Hazelwood, where I grew up. Yeah. Then I go to South City. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is crazy. Like, this is so crazy. So, like I said, it's going to be available for all races, all kinds. We start ages at 5 and we go all the way up. I keep getting this question. I want to make it. I got to have a daycare. That's big. Yeah. So we love kids. Like I said, eventually we will build a team and the team will all have a common goal. The big thing I tell, I just hired my first employee. Oh
yes,
my God.
I saw that.
I just hired my first employee. And the big slogan is mission over position.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing that I learned as a team. You know, it's not about my position, it's about the mission. And when you look at life as in that aspect, or you look at anything in that aspect, you understand that your position doesn't matter. Whatever role that you need to take at that time, you'll be willing to take it. Just for the mission to be, you know, the mission is bigger than any position.
Listen, first of all, congratulations on your first employee. That is
Thank you. So big.
And I know she has quite the resume too, because we were reading about her, went to school at Purdue. So she's bringing a lot of things to the table. I looked at Cedric when you said something about counseling, because we literally will be interviewing a sports therapist. Next week.
They're in St. Louis. They're actually based in St. Louis right now, but like you said, you're bringing it back to the Lou anyway. So
yeah, we might have to get them on Zoom calls though. You hear me?
No, definitely.
We're gonna have to do some. We might have to add that service faster than I thought. Cause like I said, it's very big. I've been leaning towards it. I'm just right now trying to get the finances for it.
Right.
Cause that counselor deserves a lot too. I mean, in real time, it takes a lot. And
yeah.
One of the things with sports I knew it was big was mental. When I got hurt, I learned that, you know, it was, they told me, if you do something long enough, you'll get hurt no matter what you do. If you do it long enough, you're going to get hurt. And now I'm like, okay, whatever. Then they was like, well, you know, 60% of energy, getting over energy is mental. And I'm like, mental? I never even thought about the mental. I'm like, I'm trying to do physically. I'm going as hard as I possibly can.
Right.
But I'm still getting scared when I put my ankle down. Mm. When I jump, I'm not jumping as high because I know if I go down the wrong way, I won mentally. I started to win mentally. And from there, my injury just didn't matter. Like, people up to this day don't know I got a broke ankle. I don't act like it. I don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I just keep going because, like I said, mentally, I got past it in my head. Physically, it's some things that I can't still do. Mm-hmm. But mentally, in my head, I can do anything I want to do.
Come on.
Anything I want to do. So, yes.
We're definitely going to make that connection.
Please. And I'll follow her when y'all post her next week. No, I'm on a page now, so I'm looking every day.
No, but Brian, I totally believe in your vision. I'm really glad we had this conversation. We literally just have a few more quick questions. This is our little segment we ask more of a personal level, super quick, like informal questions. Mm-hmm. So to start.
So yeah, so being an athlete, you know, I love sports myself. So what is your Mount Rushmore of football players? Since you love football, top four football players that's going on your Mount Rushmore.
And he loved the Steelers, right?
You already know it's not hard. Steelers Nation. Troy Polamalu, first one.
Okay.
Troy Polamalu. If you watch Troy play, he was willing to do anything. He was jumping over the line of scrimmage. You've seen his heart go everywhere.
Yeah.
I seen somebody just sacrifice their body, like, for the team. Like, he really, if you look at it, like, he's like, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I got to do that. Ray Lewis was a rival. So Steelers, Ravens, battle of the bands. I'm talking about hard hitting always, never excuses, fight, Rushmore. Ray Lewis would be second. I played running back in high school. And my favorite running back at that time was LeSean McCoy. Okay. A lot of people don't know LeSean McCoy, but yeah, he had juice, no business. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, he had the juice. Yeah, he was a juking machine. I loved it. I loved it. And then the other one I would probably say would probably be Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson, a lot. He's a GOAT. He's literally a GOAT. And I also, like I said, he played corner. Another position I played. If anybody know about football, like, the hardest position to play is corner. It's a lot of mental things. It's an island that you're on. You don't have help. It's another thing. It's another adversity. You know, if you get scored on, the whole crowd sees it. If you mess up, everybody knows it's you.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Mizzou. We played Mizzou my junior year, first career start. I gave up a touchdown. I'm talking about, they do the horn in Mizzou, like the cannon. They blow the cannon, it's 60,000, and my heart is literally in my, like, gone. And I'm just like, oh, my God, like, this is it. This is adversity. This is the moment that I can either keep, like, you know, be down on myself, or I can go back out there and keep showing why I deserve to be on this stage.
Yeah.
And I did. I finished that game, the Mizzou game, like 10 tackles. It was crazy because I was the smallest starter on my team. But I was on Mizzou sideline as the corner. So that whole sideline, the coaches, they like, oh, you play JFL football, this basketball. Like, they was talking. I'm like, I got to get ready for the play. Like, I can't even talk back. So, but that would be the thing. That would be definitely the thing.
Okay. We're going to have to make sure we post up his top four. Kind of moving along to our next one, sticking with the theme of fitness and sports and, like, athleticism. Our dream workout playlist. So all three of us are going to add to a list of 15 each. So we started with you, Ryan. Your top, you just go 1-1-1. So what's your first one you add to the list?
Hustling Ambition by Young Jeezy.
Mm.
Okay.
You don't even know what that sound like. Look at
I know that motherfucker. Yeah. Hey, come on. Come on, off the recession? Like. What's up?
Yes, you already, it's one of them. Jeezy, I don't know. Jeezy got, you know, we grew up on Jeezy, T.I., Lil Wayne, Gucci, you know, they, and when I was young, Yo Gotti, those are the people that got me going. And ultimately, to this day, they still do. He's not one of my favorite rappers, but if I'm working out and I hear that Hustler's Ambition, like I'm gonna go. I'm probably blackout. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Okay, I'm gonna have to listen to that one. Mine is gonna be same damn time, Future. That's gonna be one. That's gonna be okay. On my workout playlist.
Okay. And mine, I do a lot of cardio, mm-hmm. And so this got a quick beat. I just like that Surf by Young Thug. Okay. It just get me going. I just keep going and going, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, for real. That's big on my clients too. The music,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Ryan, I got some pre Madonnas. They won't even start. Yeah, they won't even start unless it's the right song. So them, I call them my pre Madonna clients. So I gotta make sure everything's right for them to give me all of them, you know. And then I have some clients, they'll just shoot me playlists. I probably got about 10 to 12 playlists. And the crazy names, you got your ratchet playlist, yeah. You got your jump playlist, your get up. So it's music is definitely a part of our soul. And it helps with fitness big time. So
it does.
Yes.
Let's do one more song each. I did just realize what time it is. Let's just
okay.
One more song.
Okay.
What's your second one?
One more song. I gotta give y'all a good one.
Right. Let me look at my list.
Let me hold on real quick.
Ooh, I got mine.
Let me look at this list real quick.
So you already ready, Cedric?
I'm ready. unless I take it. So I mean.
I'm probably gonna go with Dreams and Nightmares by Meek.
Yeah.
Cause it's just a build up. It's a build up so you can like start slow and then when that beat drop, you know.
Go crazy. Know.
Yeah.
It's over.
So
okay, though, that was a really good one. If I were to add to that, Hannah Montana, Migos. It's gonna be a track for my lady.
Oh, listen, okay.
We're going crazy when that song come on. Okay, we squatting, we doing all that. So
there it is.
Listen,
there it is. Y'all know I'm gonna add these to the boot camp playlist now.
Got oh yeah,
too. Easy. I'm writing them down right now.
Okay,
so I'm getting them down.
And then this song for me, it just gave me hype to do anything. Like I feel like I can conquer the world whenever I hear this song. It's just obviously you know March Madness by Future. Woo!
Ooh,
so I mean,
he went fade time. Okay,
yeah. So either like way,
that's a winner.
that's the winner. We put that up.
But yeah, so as we come into the final stretch here, we just want to give you an opportunity to let people know where they can find you. So go ahead, drop all your social medias, your website. How can people get in contact with you? Learn more about Grind Hard Elite Performance, and how can they come in and you know start putting the work in?
Yeah, signed up.
Okay, so yes. So if you want to follow my personal page, it's coach_24. It has two underscores. My business page is Grind Hard and it's _elite. On Facebook, it's Grind Hard, straight Grind Hard. On Twitter, it's Grind Hard _elite. Again, I also have a YouTube, Grind Hard Elite. I have pre-recorded workouts on there and they're not locked. So you can go see. Like I said, it's not about the money for Ryan. Mm-hmm. It's about how many people I can impact in a positive way every single day. So those are all my social medias. And if you haven't seen me on, I'm not on TikTok, but I'll be on a lot of pages, like, you know, like Dallas pages. Yeah. I'll post in fitness pages in Missouri. Just to give motivation, just to give hope, just so it can look attainable for people that might be far away from their goal or someplace they want to go to. I always think it's good to see someone or see something that resembles the place that you want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to chase something. It doesn't have to be specific, like it gotta be like that. You don't have to boom, boom, boom. It doesn't have to serve that way, but it should be some kind of sight of your vision. It should be something that you can look at and you can say, man, that's attainable. So I think that's big.
Did you drop your website too?
Oh, I did. GrindHardElitetraining.com. GrindHardElitetraining.com. I don't know why, but honestly, I get so much business from social media.
Oh,
oh my God. But I had just sent Tia the review link. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I was losing on the back end. We didn't really, I don't know why I kind of didn't get into the business side of things with the business. What's big is we said one of the personal things and business things was never stop learning. I had a meeting with Google Ads yesterday for about an hour and a half, told him my vision, told him my business. And one of my friends, he's actually in a class where they have internships that work on people's businesses mm-hmm. in a campaign. So they had hit me and they're like, you know, we're looking up gyms nearby and every gym we look up, yours come up at the bottom because you don't have any reviews. Mm-hmm. I've had 40 plus people come in this building. You can't leave this building now without taking a review. Like, and it was just, like I said, it was like somebody else just had to say it for me to really get it. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I think I will have more website viewers. I will have more people that contact me other ways in social media. Social media has been my number one source of marketing so far, though. So, yes.
And just like Ryan said, you know, every time you see him, mm-hmm. you got to give him a review. Listen. Every time you listen to the pod, you got to give us a review.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, make sure you liking the 5 stars, writing comments, all that good stuff.
And I got to do that, too. I got to do that right here.
We appreciate it.
And I really appreciate you guys. Like I said, it's crazy because me and Tia, like, really went to, like, middle school together. Like, and I was just talking to Kayla, and you went to HMS, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, you know, that year when we was in seventh grade, it was trailers. Like, the school was overcrowded, like. If y'all remember, like, I had 4 classes. I think I was on the purple team. And I had 4 classes in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And they used to bring the shades. And they used to cut the classes in the fours. And it was crazy. But just to see, you know, all those people we went to school with that year evolve in life. They got kids. They're parents. They're great parents. They're running their own business.
Yes.
You guys got a podcast, like, and it's just so inspirational, like I said, to see what we came from and to see everybody with that's doing something that they love to do. And that's what I always push. I say, you know, life's short. It's too short to wake up and do something you don't like to do or love to do every day. And people be like, well, you got to make some kind of sacrifice. And I get it. I get it. And I always understand that. But like we said, life is so short. So each day, you're going to wait for the sun coming up and down. You got 24 hours to decide what you're going to do with it, man. So, like I said, I appreciate you guys. And I look forward to marketing you guys' brand and also you guys coming back to boot camp.
Yeah,
sure.
Doing everything a little bit. Let me run this down. The gym is located in a building called The Hub.
Yes.
The Hub consists of 6 different businesses.
Mm-hmm.
5 of them are St. Louis natives, own businesses. We have a marketing and branding agent by the name of Aston Nicole. We have a realtor by the name of Conway Johnson. We have a photographer and a clothing brand by Glenn Bradford. You guys know Tough Enough. We also have a mobile car washing company and a Toro company by Gerald. He calls G Films. And then we have a Last Tech, and her name is Amanda Hyde, which she's married to the realtor. So we came all together and we said, like, we've done everything but make money together. So why not create a space to do that? We looked at the financials. We said, whatever it takes to make it happen, they did. Four of them moved down just to be in this building.
Wow.
And that really gave me the confirmation, like, they believe in me.
Yes.
They believe in me enough to, like, literally change states, put themselves on the line and say Ryan was going to go open a gym in the back. And like I said, we're on month 4 out of 30 right now. And it's been a roller coaster, but we have a tight knit bond group that's built on loyalty, that's built on trust, that's built on love. So, you know, it's some months that it's looking shaky coming up. We all come in together. We tell each other whatever we need from each other. We market each other business. We promote each other business. We run specials together where you can get two things for one. We just had our first event. We have a Halloween event coming up. We also have Breast Cancer Month. We have balloons, pink balloons. You'll see on our St. Louis Hub page. Every post in October, we'll have some kind of pink background. We're giving back. We're doing a food drive for Thanksgiving. We have so many more events, man, coming. And like I said, we can also bring you guys in and get you guys on this space that I know, like I said, y'all are helping others out every time y'all give them this space to talk. And I think it's inspirational. I think it's inspirational to have two people with common goals come together to hear somebody else's story. So yeah. Thank y'all. And I really appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. And that's what it's all about. You know, giving back and uplifting others. That's the reason T and I started the podcast. Like you said, to uplift others, to network, to, you know, be motivational, inspirational to other people. And we all know we haven't gotten here by ourselves. So just to close us out, last question that we have for you before we let you go. This is just an opportunity to give anyone you want a shout out. Anybody that may have helped you along the way. Anybody that you want to, you know, give them their flowers. Who do you want to shout out right now to close us out?
Man, I don't know why. You try to get, I'm about to say, you try to get me to talk for another hour.
Right. That's
you know me, Tia. Hey, I'll shout out the whole family, the whole crib, everybody that had life, man. I got too many people to give flowers to, said I wouldn't even lie to you. It's so many people that pray for me daily. Oh my God. You can see it in my posts. Even from Facebook, I had said something about this on my status the other day. I get more hearts than likes. And some people would look at that and be like, ah, oh, he's a bummer. But I really look at that as love, bro. Like, I look at that as like they took the time not just to click that button. They went over and they said they love what Ryan was doing. Yeah. But honestly, the only person, man, like I said, that not the only person that deserves it, but the main person that deserves the flowers is God, man.
Listen.
He's been my strength, man. He's been my faith. He's been the person that's got me up every single morning. And he's, like I said, showed me what I am was sent here to do.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know what I'm saying? And he threw some curveballs, he threw some roller coasters, he threw all of that things to prepare me for that moment. And like I said, if I would say this going forward for anybody, if you don't know God or you don't know your the ultimate high, you should seek him. You should seek him, and don't seek him in trials and tribulations, but seek him every day in your daily life. Make it a habit. And like I said, once you put your faith in him, anything's possible. Anything's possible.
Thanks. And that's the second person in the last couple of weeks is, you know, on our closing questions, giving their praise to God. So we love to see that. Like you said, God is great all the time. All the time, God is good.
Yes.
So, and with that being said, Ryan, we really just appreciate you for coming on. Appreciate you for spreading all your wisdom. Appreciate you for, you know, continue to touch lives. And like you said, putting that light in them. And you've definitely shed some light on us for sure.
Yes.
With that being said, y'all, it's been another episode of the Invited Podcast. We'll see y'all next week.